Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
We reported here a couple of days ago, the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has called for an end to what he terms sick note culture where he is in the UK. He says Britain needs to be more honest about the risk of over-medicalising the everyday challenges and worries of life. And he's considering moving responsibility for assessing fitness to work away from GPs to these specialist work and health professionals in England. So we wanted to find out whether we face similar issues in Ireland. And I'm joined in the studio now by Laura Bambrick, who's head of social policy and employment affairs at ICTU, and John Barry, who's a member of the ISMI National Council and director of MSS, the HR people. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. John, do we have a sick note culture in Ireland?
I don't think we have a sick note culture per se, but I think there'd be a lot of people who say it's very easy to get a sick note if you want to. And that's been exacerbated, I think, by the shortfall now we have in GPs, the availability now of online certs. So I think that is the difficulty. I don't think it's the culture. And, you know, I think the average figure probably for sickness in a year is around about six per working person. That's 12
million. 6 days, is it?
6 days. That's around about, what, 12 million days? You know, it's it's a lot of people.
It's easier to get a sick note. Is that what you're saying
it's
now?
It's not hard to get a sick note if someone wants to get a sick note. And in fairness to the doctor, I mean, if someone comes in and says, I really woke up really stressed this morning or my back is killing me, there's very little they can do per se as such. And that's added to the fact that people don't, you know, some people go to the same doctors all the time, but you get many people going to different doctors moving around different doctors to use the system. Plus, we have a severe shortage of GPs. So a lot of times people are going in now and just getting repeat certs at the desk because they can't see the doctor.
But if an employee presents a legitimate sick cert, it's important that that's honoured, right?
Well, employers will recognise it. I know back in the day I've come across employers who, in fact, have said they won't accept certs from certain GPs. And that's not a reflection on GPs generally, but certainly some people, employers, maybe have a view that some GPs are too easy to get certs.
But you probably like this idea then that Rishi Sunak has, that you would take this away from GPs and you'd have these specialists.
No, I don't. I think I prefer to have more GPs, to be honest. I think that because they know, if you have this more GPs, the people are going to the same GP all the time, they know that person. I mean, my father was a GP back in the day, and, he knew his patients and he knew if someone was coming in and he could tell by them whether they how bad they were and whether they should take time off or whether he'd say, look, go back to work. It'll do you good. If you feel worse, come back to me. But so I think that's far more important.
OK, well, one other thing I want to ask you about before I come to Laura. So Rishi Sunak's contention that Britain needs to be more honest about the risk of over-medicalising the everyday challenges and worries of life.
Sure.
That's snowflake culture. That's what he's talking about.
Very much.
About
well, I mean, and we've seen debates going on at the moment that, you know, the younger generation have not, they've been too helicoptered. They're not being given chance to experience.
Are you seeing that? Problems. Are you remember seeing that?
Oh, yes.
That?
I mean, I heard, last year, I think it was, being said that people are not experiencing crises in their teens anymore now. They experience it in their 20s because they had never had risk or experienced those difficulties when they were younger because they were looked after too much by the parents.
So the stress is keeping them out of work?
It can be, as much as anything else. But the expression over medicalizing is possibly reflecting the fact that people now, I don't think growing up, young people experience the same stresses that they used to in the past. And I think they should be. They should be learning as they're growing up how to deal with stress.
Okay.
And sometimes they're not.
Right, Laura, what do you say to all of that? Let's deal with that last point first. There's a generation coming through now who say, well, I'm stressed and I'm not going into work today.
Well, there's a lot there. Well, first of all, mental health conditions aren't new. What is new is we've stopped locking people away. So the mad woman in the attic for Jane Eyre fans, it no longer exists. We've closed the institutions. So people with mental health conditions live amongst us, work amongst us. So that's always been there. And this idea that younger workers and younger people are more prone to health conditions, the evidence doesn't stand up for that. And the idea that they have lived this privileged existence, I mean, this is a generation that has come through COVID. They've had their years of education, their introduction into the world of work, the foundations of good health. You know, access to housing, stable incomes are really on shaky ground. So I think that the notion that we have this sick pay culture, that we have to that suddenly we have this spike in people being out of work long term, because that's what the UK Prime Minister was talking, people not just ringing up routinely on a Monday or after a bank holiday.
You know that statistic that John gave us there, that on average it's six days per year. You think that's acceptable, do you? That's the norm, and it should be that way.
Well, we don't, Irish statistics we don't have, because it's only in the last 15 months that we have made it a new workers' right that we would pay, the employer has to continue to pay the worker their wages in whole or in part. For the days that they're sick.
So you're saying we don't know what the statistics
are? We don't
are.
Know, but what we do know is that the public service who have occupational sick pay, the average would be 10 days, and that would be in line with international, so around 2 working weeks on average. So if you think about it, given the, you know, 52 weeks in the year, it wouldn't be, and we are talking averages.
So 10 days is not excessive?
So 10 days would not be excessive, given the amount of germs and, you know, falls and things that can happen just in the normal way of going around. Obviously, you can be too sick or too injured to work.
John, 10 days sick leave?
Well, 10 days sick leave would mean you're looking at probably, what, 20 million days a year people missing from work, which is a huge, huge figure. Now, I would deal primarily with small businesses. And of course, you are more dependent on your team in a small business. So if someone goes sick, and let's not necessarily say a service industry, but let's say someone goes sick, you've got to, you know, you've got to cover their job. And that puts more pressure on everybody else. And, you know, like, sickness is a difficulty. There's no question. No one says people can't get sick or shouldn't get sick. And I think what Sunak is suggesting is that when they say over-medicalise, we're possibly reacting too soon for someone to be off work. Rather, as I said, my father used to say, go back to work, try it out, see how you feel. And most times those people never came back to him because they got back to work. And in fact, going back to work was probably good for them.
So you're saying if someone comes to the doctor and says, oh, I don't feel very well, the answer should be, well, go into work and see how you get on.
Well, no, the doctor should have a good chat with them, I think. And that's the difficulty. They don't have the time, but they should have a good chat with them and assess them and come up to their own professional opinion. But part of that discussion should be, is it better for you to stay at home or is it better for you to go in? Now, I appreciate if someone's got a raging flu or something, you don't want them going to the office and contaminating everybody else. So you've got to draw the line. But there's a lot of common sense in this. And, you know, but the person who doesn't want to go to work, I think if they can get a cert to cover that if they want to.
Okay. Laura, you want to come back in there?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we look at the numbers of people that are long-term out of the workforce, of working age, not working because they have been certified as too sick to work, it's 160,000 people. Now, that sounds a lot. It is a lot, 160,000. But that's in the context of 2.7 million people at work. So it is a fraction of the people, working age people, that are out of the workforce. And the idea that it's easy to get a bogus medical cert, that's a big, you know, accusation. That's saying that GPs are in some way compliant with conspiring to fraud, allowing a person, misdiagnosing a person, allowing them to get a payment which they're not genuinely entitled to.
Well, no, I don't think anyone would suggest that GPs that is what GPs are trying to do. But I suppose there is growth in online medical services now, which could lead to the suspicions amongst employers, like John sitting beside you there, that is an easy way to get a sick cert for €20 as opposed to up to 70 going to your GP.
Well, first of all, you're not seeing an online GP for 20 euro. An online GP is also a trained doctor, so it's the same as seeing a face-to-face. But if you're sick for more than 5 days over the entire year, a sick cert from an online doctor isn't sufficient, because you have to have a face-to-face consultation with a GP in order to get your IB1 form signed. So that's your form sign to allow you to get illness benefit. So there is absolutely a growth in online GPs, because workers, like everyone else, is having difficulty, A, getting onto a GP's getting a GP, and then getting access to their GP.
But you don't see that as being a problem?
It's not a problem. As I said, there's safeguards in place. There's 5 days. After 5 days, over the entire year, you are going to need to have a face-to-face consultation. So the idea
Laura has explained there how that's not an issue, because you get to the five-day threshold and you have to see a face-to-face person.
And that's fine. I wasn't necessarily talking about online, you know, although, you know, online is just an added difficulty. And in fairness, because of the introduction of this new statutory sick pay scheme, the online sometimes is the only way a person's going to get a cert today to confirm I'm sick today. So, you know, they have grown in importance to comply with the statutory legislation. Yeah. But in relation to going to see doctors, all I'm saying is, and like it used to be, as we say in HR, it used to be the bad back. Then it became stress. And,
What used to be the bad back?
Someone going to a doctor and getting time off work because they had a bad back. And it used to be the...
Are you saying they're the made-up reasons?
Not at all made up. No, what I'm saying is that if someone comes into a GP and says, I've got a bad back, he can do certain exercises. But at the end of the day, if a person is expressing pain, the GP is going to have to go on the cautious side and recommend he takes time off work. The GP is relying on what they're told by the person. They can do physical examinations, okay? But there are some examinations which will require more in-depth examination.
I'm going to try and translate now what you've been saying. Okay. It used to be the bad back and now it's stress. These are what you are saying are the invented reasons
not
why
invented.
People are off work.
No, I'm not saying they're invented at all, Claire. And, you know, what I am saying is that these are the most common and difficult to assess injuries which people may have. Now, in this current day and
age... But that's why having the specialists there, as Rishi Sunak has suggested, might be the way to do it.
Well, as I said to you, I think that we should have more GPs. That's rather than specialists. I mean, you do have occupational...
But even the GPs you've just mentioned would find those conditions hard to assess.
It would do, but I mean, we are looking at someone who is... There's two elements. You've got the short-term absences, okay, which is cause a lot of difficulty, especially in small businesses. If someone's out for over a week, you can almost plan for it. If the short-term absences are where the difficulties arise, because suddenly today you're down one or two people and you have to get your products out. So they're the major difficulties. The longer-term, not so much. If there's a longer-term situation, these people are probably going to go for tests, they're going to go to specialists and see them. And I've done many cases where someone have been out for 6 months or 7 months because they're getting tests, experts will see them, and they have to stay out until they get further examinations.
And you can plan for that as well.
Yeah, and there's no difficulty. Yeah,
Laura, I want to ask you about that idea, you know, that the specialist work and health professionals that Rishi Sunak has suggested. Is that a good idea, to take this away from GPs?
Well, it's not, they're not medically qualified, so...
Well, we don't really know what they are. I mean,
they
have said health professionals.
Well, they would be akin to an occupational therapist. Mm-hmm. And we would move away from the idea of you getting a sick cert to getting this thing called a fit cert. So it's no longer saying that I can no longer work for John's firm doing the job because of my illness, but I could work for your job because the parts of my body that are able allow me to work for you. So it's a movement for away from that. But there are provisions that allow employers, where they feel somebody is not acting in good faith. Like, it's not unusual for company sick pay schemes to have anti-abuse clauses in it. And that should be something that is encouraging their members to have, that we don't take sick notes from online GPs. that's fine and that's good. But once then they allow the worker time to get a face-to-face occupation, and the legislation doesn't require the employer to look for a GP cert. It's their right to ask for one, but they don't. And they can allow flexibility that the worker doesn't. Okay. The one quick thing that we have, the safeguard in place is, Ireland is the only country in the EU 27 where workers have to pay to see a GP, on average €60. And when you go in there, you have to pay 10 to 15 euros on top for that sick note.
There you go.
That's a big incentive to use that bad back or that low mood to drag yourself into work.
All right. Laura Bambrick and John Barry, thank you both for coming in. We have to take a break. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.